do want to thank you for coming on the Plus One. We had you on before. You were awesome. We wanted to bring you back. And this episode, I just really want to focus in, pick your brain on people pleasing and boundaries. I think that's something that just any person could appreciate and gain something out of. So thank you for joining. And before we jump in, how's the day going? How are you doing?
It's great. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me again. Yeah, it's a great Sunday, and I'm people pleasing and boundaries is something I'm super passionate about. Being a recovering people pleaser myself, so I love this topic. Definitely.
Sweet. So I think where we should start is, if it's okay with you, what are the common situations that people tend to struggle with people pleasing in setting boundaries or unable to set boundaries?
Yeah, I think it really varies person to person, but I think, you know, I mean, we're all susceptible, like falling into the, you know, the tendency to people please and like want to make others happy somehow. I can speak to like from my standpoint where it most frequently comes up and where I've seen it come up for, you know, some of my clients and people in my life. So I would say like friends, family, like work situations, boundaries are a big one with work and family. You know, like planning life events or like new parents often, you know, even like parents dealing with teenagers, there's going to be people in their lives that are like, oh, this is how you should do it. And, you know, make you feel some type of way. So you're always, I've seen so many of our friends and like our family that are parents now, like have to try to like, okay, what do we think is best? Not what everyone else is telling us is best. So it can really happen anywhere. And even when you think that you've made long strides, it can sneak back up on you. And it's just about like being aware of when it's happening.
Thank you. And to be specific for you, when has Kalina, as a recovering people pleaser, where has it been for you? Like, where could you really like say, hey, this is where it's been tough for me?
Yeah. So for me, and this is actually something I've been living myself right now lately. I've made huge strides over the last like year and a half, 2 years, and like coming to terms with like, I'm never going to make everyone happy and things like that. And trying to like put my needs and our little family that we're building and like what's best for us ahead of that. But it's still like it sneaks in and I'm not perfect. Even, you know, I can coach people on it. I know what to do, but it still sneaks in. So for me, it's been my entire life, and it's been I'm not the new parent area, but it's fallen into like every single one of these things, like friends, family, work, you know, planning life events. Like right now we are just under 2 months, or we're just over 2.5 months out from our wedding, or 2 months. And we were doing really well, or I was, with like trying to be like, this is what our vision, this is what we want. But, you know, you want to like have your family and like your friends enjoy the wedding too. So it's knowing when to truly like, okay, what's their opinion that I'm wanting to implement versus like what I, or like what we actually want for our day. And so that's been hard, is like trying to people please there. So it's kind of snuck back up again. So I've had to like be reminding myself of some of these tactics. But I know like growing up a lot, I've now as an adult, I see that I masked a lot of who I truly was growing up, because I just wanted so bad to like fit in somewhere. And I didn't really like, now I understand my brain worked really differently. I'm late diagnosed ADHD, and a lot of my life made sense after that. But, and that's not like the whole reason I people please, but I think that like that played a huge part in it, is like trying to mask so I would fit in.
Yeah.
And just like, okay, whatever anyone else wants to do, like that must be the right thing to do, or that would make them happy. And I think too, for me, part of it is I genuinely enjoy watching other people be happy and enjoy what they're doing. So a lot of the times it comes to me like, well, like if this is going to make them happy or they're going to enjoy this, that's what I want, because I just want other people to like be happy and enjoy what they're doing.
Which I don't think there's anything wrong with in certain situations saying, you know what, I don't have a big interest or investment in the what we do. For example, something very simple. What are we gonna do on Friday night? Well, I'm up for multiple things, but the person that I'm hanging out with only wants to do one thing, and it's on my okay list. Cool, right? But when it's all the time, you're always saying, "Man, I'm not even speaking up for myself." Or you kind of get into trouble, and then you're looking back on your childhood and realizing you're people pleasing a lot, right?
Yeah,
So
for sure.
what tactics would you use for to fight against people pleasing? How does Kalina, what do you tell your clients? Like, how do you help them out?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is one trying to get to the root of where that's stemming from, where you're finding it coming up the most. So like for me, it's kind of spread across the board, but it's okay, but are there certain like situations or activities that are like atmospheres that you're in that it comes up? Trying to like identify those things first, and then you can start to work from there. So are there things that you start to notice like that kind of raise a flag to you for yourself that you're people pleasing? And so one thing that I've implemented for myself that's been really helpful, I would say even in the last couple of months, is learning when to identify that, like for me, it's I'll get super indecisive because, like you said, one example is like I truly genuinely just I'm open to doing a lot of things or like eating at like different places. I'm down for anything. And the others is, well, I'm being indecisive because I don't want to make the wrong decision or I don't want to feel like I made the wrong decision. And so it's starting to recognize like when the indecisiveness is happening and then backtracking a little bit and asking yourself, am I being indecisive because I genuinely am down for whatever we decide, I'm open to anything, or I just, like you said, like I don't have like a huge stake either way. Like I'm not going to be mad if we do this thing or this thing. And then the other part is like, or am I being indecisive because I just don't want to like look bad or I don't want to upset them. And then like when I've been asking myself that and I notice it, that's when I'm like, okay. And then it's like taking that moment to ask yourself, like, okay, if it is because you don't want to upset the other person, like you're just being indecisive to deflect. Okay, in that moment, like, what does Kalina or what does Adam really want in this situation? And what's the worst that can happen if you speak up and say what you want? Like, are they going to run for the hills and not be your friend anymore? But it sometimes it just feels that way. Like you just you don't want to upset someone or you just don't want to like start a battle. And I've kind of started to learn though, I just need to like ask myself, like, okay, but like what do I want? Or like in situations that it's like our wedding stuff, it's like, okay, but like what do we want our day to look like? And like it's you take other people's opinions or wants into account, but ultimately at the end of the day, like other people are okay with saying like what they want, like you need to be okay with it too. And that's just like a piece of it. There's a lot like that goes into it. And like I said, it's like getting back to like where you're seeing it come up the most and then like working from there. And then, okay, like what is the scariest part of that for you? And like also, it's kind of come to a realization that say it's a friend or a family member and you voice your opinion or like, no, like I really don't want that. Like, this is what I want for something. And it doesn't go over well, and they like stop talking to you, then I take the standpoint that says more about them and how much they valued your relationship with them or lack, like how much they did not value it truly. I feel like that says more about them than it says about you. But it's hard. It's very hard to like start to
And I
do
think in those
that.
situations, if somebody gets upset because you say no, or that's not the decision that you want to do, it's very tra it shows that the friendship relationship is transactional. That when things go the way they want, it's good. If it doesn't, they're mad, and that's a red flag, anyways, right? Like I don't want a transactional, meaningful relationship. Like someone that's meaningful in my life that plays a meaningful role for the relationship to be transactional, based on always pleasing them. Something that I love to do, and actually just this came up in a conversation with Emily recently, and she was talking about Katie's sister, Emily, talking about a client that she works with. But anyways, the client was saying some things, and she said back to the client, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not available to cut your hair at that point." And I was listening to that, and that triggers me to think about something from Ryan Holiday, where he the Queen of England, when she was a young queen, people would ask her for a lot, like plans, do this, events that she could go to. And what people around her noticed was that she never, when she said no, she never said, "I'm sorry," or apologized. She would just say, "No, thank you." And it was like, it's like a subtle thing, but she has no reason to be sorry. I'm not sorry. Like, I have maybe that doesn't work in my schedule, or I don't want to do that. And that's something I've worked on like implementing. So just like a few weeks ago, someone asked me to work out on a Sunday and it doesn't work for my schedule. I didn't say I'm sorry. I just said point blank,
Yeah.
no. Or a friend recently asked me to do something else and I said, I'm just not interested. And some people don't take that well, but at least you're being direct and honest. I mean, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, maybe I could squeeze it in to try to appease them. And that's just not good for you, I think. I think it's better. And that kind of goes to the boundaries, which is where I'd want to go next. But go ahead and you can respond to all my soliloquies
Yeah,
here.
I'm like, I know that the people listening can't see it, but I'm like smirking right now and holding in a laugh because I am the biggest, like, I'm the guiltiest person of like the I'm so sorry or I'm sorry. I get yelled at by my fiance. I say yelled at with quotes, like yelled at by my fiance at least probably 10 times a day for saying sorry. And it's just something that like my sister and I both have always done. And yeah, it's really bad. And it's like, he'll be like, what are you sorry for? And it's like, because it's like, what do I have to be sorry for? And like that moment, like if I genuinely did something, I'm all about like genuinely apologizing. But it's like, if I'm saying, like you said, saying no because it doesn't work for your schedule or because it just like it doesn't align with your values or something, like that's not, you don't have to be sorry about that. So something I am also working on, it's very hard because too, like once it's something you say a lot, it becomes like almost a habit to just like instinctively, I'm sorry about everything.
Yeah, and if it wasn't sorry for me, like you said that you say sorry a lot. It was, I wish I could, but I have this going on. Like, no, I don't wish
Do
I
I
could. I
actually
can't.
wish I
Like, there's no wishing here. This isn't the wishing well, Adam, right? So, like, just removing what you call, I call like empty calories from your responses. And yeah, so that's more like people pleasing. So let's narrow in a little bit more on like setting boundaries. So setting boundaries, your clients come to you and they're like, hey, I'm struggling in friendships, relationships, work environment of setting boundaries. What advice do you give them on setting boundaries?
So boundaries are like just as hard, if not harder, than like stopping the people pleasing, because especially if it's something like you've let things slide for a while, you've people pleased, you've been flexible for a while. Once you like try to backtrack and set boundaries, that's kind of like those instances you talked about, like it doesn't go over well sometimes. And a lot of it comes up like boundaries are super important in a work environment. Like what is the treatment at work that you're going to accept? Are you gonna start a pattern of like working long hours, logging back on at night, being at, your boss or your team's beck and call every 5 seconds when they need you on your PTO, and or like even taking on more work than like, and I'm not about like this is all the job description says, but like in a work environment, like there's also like sometimes like going too above and beyond. And I have done that in the past where like I realized I started to like bite off more than I could chew and it just gets messy. But it's like once you have already started setting that tone to reel that back in and put that boundary up. And I think you and I have talked about this in the past of like I was started out doing things this way and now it'll like be like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to accept that. Just people don't like, they don't like that. And it comes into play like in family environments, friendships, like if there's a friend that you've always gone above and beyond for, always been there, like, at the drop of a hat, which like I'm all about for my friends. But if there's just like genuinely a time where it just, I can't make something happen, or, I'm not able to be there for you, not because I don't want to, but it just doesn't work and that upsets you, then like putting up some of those boundaries or like saying no to things, like not having to go to every single like birthday party, wedding, and like starting to realize, like, am I saying yes to these things because I feel obligated to, because I genuinely want to be there? And that's something else I've worked on a lot recently. And it's hard to start to like reflect on that and realize. And two, it's like my family lives in Illinois still. And I would love to drive down and see them every weekend if I could. Like, I love my family. I love being with them, but it's just not realistic sometimes. Like, it's not a far drive, but also, we have a house, we have a wedding we're planning. I started two businesses that I'm trying to keep up with, work, two puppies. And it's just like, it just doesn't make sense sometimes. And like, I'm so thankful my family is super understanding. But that's just an example of like an instance where if you've set a tone for a while, some people may not be understanding, like, well, why have you stopped coming home? Do you not like being around us?
Exactly. Because and I think with what we talked about was about work for me, I believe too. And I think something that as you get older, you see different pitches in life, different fastballs, curveballs, whatever. Every job interview I've had since probably my first job out of college, like RSM in public accounting, the question I always ask, what time do you expect me to show up every day? Like, no, seriously, I want to know. Like, none of this, well, office hours are this to this, or no, what time do people really work? And then if they say, well, we need you in at 7:30 a.m. Central. Well, I work out in the morning, so this is when I'm going to be able to make it. And being very direct. If that doesn't work for you guys, I can't work here because that's my lifestyle and that's setting a boundary. But again, you have to say that up front because if you don't talk about that and then you start working there for 2 months and they're like, why are you logging in 30 minutes later? What the heck happened? Right. So, but yeah, being upfront about it is easier. If somebody does find themselves, though, behind the eight ball, like they've went above and beyond early on, and then now they need to kind of reel it back. What do you suggest they do? How do they go about that? Whether that's in a work relationship, I guess we'll start with a work relationship if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think that's tricky, but I think a lot of it comes to, like, first, like, take a pause, which if you're going above and beyond like that, sometimes it's hard to find a moment to do that, but like, take a pause, step back, look at everything you've taken on, look at, like what the job description is, like what the bare minimum you need to be doing is, and kind of evaluate what is the, like, what are you truly comfortable taking on a little extra, because, there are some instances where you've got to give a little extra, but it's like, how much extra are you comfortable giving? Or is it like, nope, this is the job I applied for. This is the job I interviewed for. This is what I accepted of what's outlined here, and that's what I'm going to accept. Then it's that helps to guide the type of conversation if there needs to be like a formal conversation about it, or just the type, the way maybe that you take your stance in, like saying, like, hey, I've got too much on my plate. This is way above and beyond what I agreed to come on for. I need to either tailor it back, or I at least need to stop taking extra on. And it's, again, like, it's that knowing where you're comfortable. And if you have gotten to a point where, like, you've taken way too much on, it's evaluating again, like, what's on your plate that's extra, or that, like, goes too far past, like, that max point that you're comfortable with. And it may be like having a conversation with your boss, having a conversation with your peers, and saying, hey, so I, bit off more than I can chew. I took a lot more on than I realized, and I need some help. Like, I've noticed you have a little bit of capacity. Is there any way you could help me, like, manage this, or like work together, like finding some sort of a compromise? And then maybe once you get back down to like that level you're comfortable at, once some of that's off your plate, then from there, like, going forward, like setting that stone, like, I'm at my max. This is my max. This is the max that, like, at work in my job, like, we talk about, like, what is the capacity for each 2-week sprint of work?
Yeah.
Realistically, like, factoring in, like, talking in a work sense, like PTO, training hours, like other work for other projects, like, realistically, like, what do you have to dedicate to this work, this over the next 2 weeks or whatever?
And give quality work too, right? It's not just about like.
Exactly. Like, you want to make sure, like, you're able to deliver like quality work, not just like pump it out to pump it out. Like, so it's that environment has made that conversation easier, is when you're truly having those capacity conversations. And sometimes, like, it is like, if there's stuff going on in life, you don't have to divulge like the details of it. All you could do, like, all you have to do is say, like, hey, I've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm not, maybe like a little distracted or just stressed. I'm struggling to manage everything on my plate.
I
And it's
think,
okay.
yeah, I think I agree. And I think there a golden piece of what you said a little bit earlier is that the way you framed it to go to your boss, your supervisor, even a coworker, whoever, right, manager, is that you're saying, how can we like work together? Because like especially in a work environment. So the advice to a client that you're giving, I think is great, is that in a work environment, everything in a whether you're playing the game or it is, you are a team. It's not, hey, I need help fix this. It's how can we come up with a solution? I think that is the best way to, like you said, tailor it back to set that boundary. So I think that's great. I think in our personal life, it's a lot harder than it is at
Oh,
work.
yeah.
Because at work, it's like, I don't know. You know how it is. Work life, you're like, eventually you're just going to tell them straight up, like, I need some help.
I'm done.
But
Yeah. Yeah.
in your personal life with your whoever, like even with my siblings and whatnot. But I will tell you this. I'll tell you this, and then I'm curious if you have anything in your personal life that you want to share and give advice on. Something I struggled with for the longest time, and I didn't realize it was a boundary, is I'm clearly chatty. Hello, I have a podcast, so clearly I like to talk. Right, it's at the gym today, and this guy Zach was like, "Dang man, I just love chatting with you." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's why I try to keep my headphones on, my hoodie on,
Right,
right?"
then you get distracted.
Yeah, especially you'll notice like my talking is super low the first 30, 40 minutes of my workout, and then because it's about an hour and a half, the last 10, I'm more likely to chat. But I would notice people like to talk to me. That's nice, right? And I like talking to people. I really do. But then people think they always want to come up and talk to you, and you're like, ugh. So I used to get upset, Kalina. I would get in the car after my workout and be like, so why I need to go to the gym at a different time. I can't stand when people talk to me, right? Like you come up with all these things. It's like, no, Adam, you have the power to look at someone and say, nice to see you. Hey, man, I'm really getting after it right now. Have a great workout. I'll chat with you. Nobody's going to be mad at you, right? And guess what? After like 30, not 30, but like at least 10 years of doing that, I started implementing that little thing of, like, I was at the gym this past week. I told this kid that I was chatting with, hey man, I'm gonna get after it. I've got 40 minutes left on my lunch break to finish my workout. He's like, oh yeah, man, go ahead, get after it. And like totally understood. Now that's not as personal as like relationships like on an everyday basis, but something like that has really worked for me. But I'm curious, more personal, if you have anything to share, how to give people advice on, dealing with like friendships, parents, that type of thing. Something.
Yeah, and you're right. I think it's harder. Like they're both hard work and personal relationships, but it's like they're hard in different ways, I feel like. But yeah, and that's what I think. What was something? So through my like training program around like selling, because I'm not a salesperson. Like it just I feel awkward about it. And one of my coaches said like the only way it's awkward is if you make it awkward. And I think the same stance can come into play here is like the only way it's going to be awkward or come off the wrong way is if you make it weird. Like, so it's taking it like if say we'll just use like going to events with friends or something every weekend and like having plans every weekend, which like we're super guilty of because we love hanging out with our friends, we love hanging out with family. And like we would rather do that than yard work. So we'll say yes, like really quickly to things. But then it's like, oh man, like the weeds are like 5 feet high. We got a weed really, and it's like we really need to take a weekend. And so it's just like that's just like an example though. I think that if you say no to doing something with friends or family, it's taking it from a stance of like we would love to, we love spending time with you. It's not that we don't want to, or like, you don't even have to say that, but just we really have stuff that we need to work on. And so we've started saying that in some instances. We've been really guilty again this summer about like saying yes to a lot. But and it's everyone in our life has been super understanding. But I've had some clients and friends even talk about when they've put up some boundaries or started to put up boundaries with friends who always wanted them to be at their beck and call or just like be there when they need it at the drop of a hat, and they just couldn't because they have their own lives, they have their own jobs, they have their own kids. And it's like all of a sudden they're the bad guy because there's one time that they just can't make it work for them. Then it's, that's hard, and you don't want it. Like, even if you have that, like, in your head, like that says more about them than it does you, that's still like, even if it's only been like a 6 month friendship, that's someone you obviously valued enough to consider as a friend or an important family member. So it does make that hard to then be like, okay, like I've done this a lot. Like, how do I start saying no?
And that what you said earlier, another golden ticket here is if you make it awkward, it'll be awkward. But if you don't make it awkward, it won't, because that's kind of the fear. When I tell them, hey man, I'm trying to get after my workout, oh, they're gonna take it the wrong way. And then rarely do they, as long as you're not awkward about it, right?
Right.
As long as you're and I guess you can play with words, make sure that you say it properly, because you don't want to say kind of like what you said earlier, you know, we wish we could, or not that you said that, but I forgot there was something that you said. You're like, you don't even have to say that. Oh, we love spending time with you or something like that, right? There's like no fillers, but yeah, I do think it really does come on how you broach the subject, I guess, right?
100%. And I have to laugh because it reminded me again when you said, like, how I said about it's only awkward if you make it awkward. That's really hard for me too because I'm just like awkward. I'm an
I was
awkward
thinking the
person.
same thing.
I was like, it's hard for me not to be awkward,
I
which is
know.
so weird because like we're both so like we talk to people so easily, but then it's we get so awkward. Like my
Yeah.
fiance has pointed it out. He's like, why is it so hard for you to talk to people in some of these situations, but yet you'll start a whole hour long conversation with a stranger at the store? And I'm like, I don't know. And then
Is
because there's
so
like I
true.
put pressure on myself,
Because
but
you're not trying. When I'm at the
yeah.
store, I'm just
I'm just like, oh, hey,
reacting.
like, what's up?
Yeah, it's all reactionary. It's all, you know, your brain is just moving. Then you go in and you're like, how am I gonna fit this in the
Get out of this.
conversation? Yeah. Then you start, and then we talk fast, so you stumble over a word. It's great. But I don't know. It's been super helpful for me. And I knew this was a topic that I definitely wanted to have you on for. So thank you for coming on. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to talk about with those two topics of people pleasing and boundaries? Did we miss anything?
I just want to add, and this has been, like I said, I'm working through this actively now. Like I have not reached a level of perfection, and there never is because it will always sneak back up. But I've learned so much over the last couple of years, and I have to think, like my fiance, even in the 8 years we've been dating, has been such a huge cheerleader for me to stop people pleasing and stop saying sorry. So that's kind of like it's been a journey, but just it is okay to like take a moment and think about what is best for and aligns best with your vision for your life and the life that you're building with like your family or just your sphere of who you want to be in there, how involved you want people to be. Like, because that's the one thing is like boundaries. It comes to like people too, of how involved you want certain people or certain environments to be in your life.
Yeah.
And evaluating like, is that what's best for you? Does that feed energy, like good, like positive energy into you, or
Right.
does it drain you? So
Exactly.
just like that's my biggest thing is just take a moment to think about like outside of the people pleasing, just in general, like is this feeding me or is this feeding what I'm working towards or like the person that you want to be? That's just really important because as selfish as it might sound, and to me it, and I don't think it does now, but I felt selfish saying it at first. At the end of the day, the only person you can truly count on is yourself. And you have to start like being that cheerleader for yourself.
Beautifully said. Nothing else for me to add because you just absolutely crushed that ending of this podcast. I love having you on my podcast. Let's get together. Let's figure out another topic that we can come on here and chat about. Thank you, Kalina. We're looking forward to hearing about your podcast in the future. So we'll put a
I'll be
little pressure
starting.
on you right now, right?
Yeah.
But hey,
I
have a
need
good
it. That's it. That's what'll hold me accountable.
There's accountability. Hey, you hold me accountable. I'll throw it right back at you. But hey,
I
have a
love
great rest of your day. Thanks for coming on.
it. You too. Thanks, Adam.